Well, we're talking about expanding your hearts. How many know our hearts need to be expanded? And so tonight I want to talk to you simply about recognizing God's promise to us. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And yet sometimes that which is so obvious becomes we just lose it. We just forget the most obvious thing. You ever been looking for your sunglasses and you have them right on top of your head? You ever been... Who's ever looked for your keys and they're in your hand? Come on, somebody, tell the truth. It's like, that's kind of like what I'm going to talk about today. The fact that Jesus, that God has promised never to leave us or forsake. Can I tell you what? God is always, 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 always with you. He's always with you. And he's promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. But what happens is Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and how does he do that? He does that by lying to us. He, understand this, Satan has no power except influential power. He is powerful in that. He is doing a lot in the world, but he's doing it. But why? Because dominion has been given to man. So in order for him to control, Satan's controlling all kinds of things. Yes, he is. I agree with you. But he is only doing that through his deception of men, because men have control of this earth. God gave it to man. God told them to take dominion of it. And so that's under their control. And so how does he become effective? He lies and deceives and manipulates and gets men to do what he cannot do. Is this making sense?
Yep.
And one of the things that he does to us is he convinces us that we don't have our keys. And our keys are in our hands. He convinces us that we don't have our glasses, and our glasses are on our head. He convinces us that we are alone, and Christ has promised never to leave us or forsake us. So we will expand our hearts tonight as we remind ourselves, and I show you some things, and they're none of the things that I'm going to talk about, I don't think anything of them will be new for you. But I think all of them will be helpful as we remind ourselves, wait a minute, God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Remember when Jesus said, it's good that I go to the Father. Well, why would it be good? Why would it be good? And he's talking to the apostles. The apostles are like, this is not going to be good. This is bad. You know what I mean? You were with us and you walked on the water and you fed the 5,000. And you know what? When we would do boneheaded things, you'd fix it. You know what I mean? Remember when Peter cut the guy's ear off? You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? So, and now you're not going to be around. Well, wait a minute. That's right. I'm not going to be around, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. When I took Peter and James and John, you know what, aside and was alone with them, I wasn't with the other nine. How many know Jesus, when he was on this ministry on this earth, he was only one place at one time?
Come on,
this is deep. Okay. But how many know when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit can be with, it can live inside any Christian. How many know that's good?
Come on, that's good.
Okay. And so Jesus says, man, this is a great thing that I can go because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to help you. Okay. And we'll talk about what exactly that means. But I've just got a simple message tonight, but I want to remind you that Jesus, God, has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And if we really get a hold of that, what it's going to do is it's going to open up our hearts, and it's going to increase who we really are. And I want to do that today. First point is God is with you. God is with us. God is with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, what? God with us. God was Jesus, and this was prophesied 740 years before this day by the prophet Isaiah. And he said, this is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come, and he will be Emmanuel. He will be God with you. How many know Jesus was God? And how many know Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And how many know Jesus was, it was awesome to have Jesus here because the apostles could see how God was. I mean, they lived with God and they could see what his character was. God was compassionate. How many know many, many times the Bible would say Jesus had compassion on them. Okay. Jesus, you know what, would heal people all the time. So we see in the character of God, because we see it in Jesus, that God is compassionate. God is a healer. How do we know God's a healer? Because we see it through Jesus. We see that God cared for the poor. How do we know God cares for the poor? Because we saw it expressed through Jesus Christ. God cares when people are in need. How do we know that? Because he looks at the people who hadn't eaten. And the only, you know what? They had been with him all day, hadn't eaten. He said to the apostles, give them something to eat. What's he expressing? He's expressing his compassion to take care of somebody who's in need. Amen. So how do we know God's that way? Because we see it through Jesus. God cares about, just a detail thing, cares about when you lose someone that's close to you, that passes away. You know what I mean? And who is the guy that Jesus raised from the dead? Lazarus. See, I'll just check in. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, you know what? Jesus, he wept. That's right. What's he weeping for? Well, he's compassionate. He's tenderhearted. How do we know he's tenderhearted? Because how do we know God's tenderhearted? Because we see that in Jesus. You want a picture of how God is? Just look at how Jesus is. And that's what we see. And so that's a great example. Is this making sense?
Oh, come on.
But God, you know what, is with us.
Yes.
And he says, you know what, to Mary, hey, look at this is awesome.
Yes.
Now, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women.
Amen.
Now, how many know Mary... Mary is going to go through a lot.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
But notice what he says to Mary. And having come in, an angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is what?
With you.
Is with you. Some of you are going through some challenging times. And God's saying to you, wait a minute. The first point, don't forget this. Don't ever forget this. I am with you. God, understand this, that God loves to comfort us at all times. But one of the times that God will comfort you is when you're going through a trial. He is the comforter. You know what that word comforter, the Greek word is parakletos. And parakletos, and para meaning to come alongside, kleto meaning called to. So you put that together. God is called to come alongside you. That's who he is. How many know God has a calling? And what God says his calling is to come alongside of you. See, you're not alone. Yeah, but I'm going. Okay, that's fine. But you're not alone. Don't ever think you're alone. You're not alone. And if you're not alone, watch this. If you're not alone, now who are you not alone with? You're not alone with God Almighty. How many know it's good? You said, man, I don't like going to the movies alone. You know what I mean? Okay, great. It's good to go to the movies not alone, but it's even better to go to the movies not alone with somebody who's got, you know what, $400 in their wallet. I mean, if you buy a popcorn and a Coke and a hot dog, you know what, it's going to cost you about $400. But you understand what I'm saying. It's not, please understand this. It's not just the relationship. And of course, please don't forget the most important thing. The most important thing is the relationship. But understand, you're not just here not alone. You're here not alone, and the one who is with you is God Almighty. You ever been stuck somewhere? You're on a freeway, you're in a parking lot, and someone, you know what? I mean, don't you like it when maybe your battery is died? And you know what? And you don't have any jumper cables. I mean, it's nice if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know what? You want some M&Ms? You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, I guess. You know, that's nice. But how many know it's nicer when somebody comes up and says, hey, do you need a jump? I have some jumper cables.
Amen. There it is. Come on. Hallelujah. Reach it back.
How many know that's really what you want, is it not? Okay. Well, understand you are not alone with God Almighty.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Almighty for what? Well, Almighty. Almighty.
Amen.
Mighty to do it all.
That's right. Come on.
God Almighty. That's who you're with. And you've got to remember that, because Satan would lie to us. Remember, he doesn't have any power. His only power he has is convincing you that you can't do it. Which we know is a lie, because the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Amen? Does the Bible also says all things are possible to those who believe? So let's put that together. Do you believe that God is with you?
Yes.
Amen. I love what Paul says. Paul says, just knowing that God was for him. Paul says, if God is for me, who can be against me? What his assumption is so biblical and so right to know that God is for him. So he just says, if God's for me, and let me tell you what he was really saying. If God's for me, and he is, then nobody can be against me. See, do you see the power of understanding that God is with you.
Yes.
And the plan, the strategic plan that Satan has to try to get you to feel like you're all alone. Can I tell you what? You are not alone. No, nobody loves me. No, no, you've been lied to. Amen? Because God loves you. Amen? Are you kidding me? God has sent his only begotten son for you. God is crazy about you. And God is right next to your side. It's like back to that illustration. Where are my keys? Where are my keys? I can't go anywhere. Can't go anywhere. No, you can go anywhere. The keys are in your hand. Amen. Put the keys in your hand. Where are my keys? Where, you know what I mean? You know, where are my notes? Where are my notes? They're right there. You got them. Where's God? I'm all alone. You're not all alone. You've listened to the one who's lied to you and convinced you that you're all alone. And please understand how powerful your mind is. If he can convince you you're all alone, then when you are looking for your keys and you have your keys in your hand, are you empowered to go somewhere? See, you know, okay. Your keys are your. Are you empowered to go somewhere?
Yes.
Why aren't you going anywhere there then? Because your mind thinks you don't know where your keys are. See, you're empowered. You can get in that car and start. You just got gas. You know what? The battery's fine. All you got to do is just put that key in the ignition and turn it over, and you're on your way. You're empowered to go, but you're not going because your mind thinks you can't go. Because you don't know where your keys are.
Yeah.
Where are they? And when you go, where are they? You just hear the jingle. Oh, there they are. Well, tonight I want to jingle for you.
Yeah.
You know what? Stop thinking that you're alone. But I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. Well, you're next to God Almighty. Who knows everything? Oh, no. Okay, you don't. So we talked about it Sunday. The power of asking. You know, hey, God. You know, just between Sunday and Saturday. You know what I mean? I just thought, man, I'm going to use the power of asking. And I said, God, how do you make this happen? And boom, it happened. I was like, man, that works. Well, how come that works? Because God is with me. Because he hears me. Because he's right there. So you've got to understand the power that God is always with you. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, well, it's nice. Advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. What's advocate? You know what advocate is? Advocate is the same... In that scripture, that advocate, that it's the same Greek word that we translate, well, I translated earlier, comforter. You have a, where is it in my notes? You have a parakletos. You have one who is called to help you. You have a helper, and he's right there. Watch this. Little ones, these things are about you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have someone right there. We have this helper with the Father, Jesus Christ. He's right there with the Father.
Amen.
And what's he saying? He said, whoa. Wait, yep, they blew it, but I died for their sin. I mean, that's a good helper. Amen. And watch this, understanding the word. What's Jesus' calling? He's got a calling. What's his calling? To save you, to help you, to come alongside of you. That's his calling. His calling is to come alongside of you and to, exactly, and to save you. To save you what? From what? From your sin, but from your sickness, from your, love you, dinginess. Right? Dinginess from your ignorance. How many sometimes are just dingy? Okay. To save you, to be that partner with you, to come alongside you and provide God Almighty that which you are insufficient for. So Paul says, greater is he who's inside of me than he that is in the world. See, all this powerful stuff in the world, but Paul's saying, well, but I understand, greater is the one whose helper, who's the one who's called to help me. And he lives inside me, and he's greater than all of them, because he's God Almighty.
Amen.
Hello. Do you see how this can expand your heart that you'd start to understand? And I'm telling you, what I'm preaching to you isn't something, Pastor, I've never heard that before. I know you've heard it before, but we have to have a, not just, how many know we have some understanding, some mental ascension to what is true? Oh yes, hallelujah, you know what I mean? I know a man can go to the moon. Yeah, you have a mental ascension that man can go to the moon, but you have no idea how to make it happen. Is that right? I mean, if we gave you an erector set, you couldn't go to the moon, right? You know, you have a mental understanding that it's possible, but you don't have a workable understanding. We have a theological understanding that God is with us, but we need way more than a theological understanding. We need to have revelation knowledge that God is on your side. That God is inside you, that this helper is promised never to leave you or forsake you. If Jesus Christ is inside you, how can he leave you?
Oh, there he is. Come on.
Right. That's right. He's with us. And we have to understand he's with us to comfort us. His calling is to be beside of us. Why? Because he knows we need help. Remember that passage in scripture, I think it's in Psalms, it says, God knows that we are just made from the dust. Remember that scripture? In other words, God's saying, God knows we need help. But see, that's the thing. His calling is to help us. And we have to remember that. So you get in a position where you feel like you're helpless. How many ever? Maybe some of you feel like you're in a position right now that you feel helpless. And God is saying, no, you're not helpless. I'm called to come alongside you and to help you. Is this making sense to somebody? And so you know what, the first point, God is with us. Oh, don't let that just be a mental, oh yeah, I know, God is with us. Oh, point one. No. Get a revelation knowledge.
Yeah.
God is with you. His calling is to help you.
Yes. Yes.
And he can. You tell me what situation God doesn't know about. Does he know about cars?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Okay. Does he know about your physical body? Yes. Okay. Does he know about relationships? Does he know anything about finances? Yeah. See, you can't name me something where you go, yeah, but God, he don't know, but I'm in such a problem. He has no, oh, are you kidding me? No. His ways are higher than your ways. He knows everything. He knows everything about everything.
Amen.
And he's right, number one, God is right alongside you. Number two, God has always been with you. God has always been with you. God has always. He's always been with you. Look at, where do I want to go? Guys, flow with me back here in the back. Go first to Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. God has always been with us. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, For he makes his sun, S-U-N, rise on evil and on the good, on the evil and on the good, and sends rain, that's his blessings, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. See, did you hear what I said? God has always been there. You know what? When you were unfaithful to God, when you were a self, whatever you were, and I won't go into all the stuff you were, because we don't have time for all that right now. But when you were the ugly duckling that you were, okay? Here, listen. God was on your side. He wasn't against you back then. He was for you. Now you were against him, but he wasn't against you. And he created you. You weren't in his family, but he was on your side. He was for you. God has always, you know what, been on your side. Always. Okay. Now look at this. Genesis chapter 29, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Look at Joseph for a minute. Joseph, you know the story. Joseph had favor. He had a calling in his life. You know what? He had the coat of many colors. He had favor. And so, boom, and he had dreams. And he goes from that position, they throw him in a pit. But when he gets in the pit, he doesn't die because his brothers are greedy. His brothers pull him out of the pit, remember, and they sell him. I don't know if you know the story, but they sell him to some traders going by as a slave. Well, he ends up being in a pretty rich, ritzy place. And Potiphar puts him in charge of everything. Now, I'm not saying that, I mean, how many know to be a slave is to be a slave even if you are a slave for a rich person? But how many know to be a slave of a rich person and be in charge of everything could be a pretty nice life? Hello. Again, I'm not saying that it's cool to be a slave. I'm just saying, I don't know. Here's what I'm pointing out. At this point, Joseph hasn't hit rock bottom yet. What I'm pointing out is there was a lot lower for Joseph to go. So he does the right thing. Potiphar's wife wants to be intimate with him. He's going to walk in righteousness. And he says, I can't do this to my God. I can't do this to Potiphar. And I'm not going to do this to my God. He runs. He gets falsely accused and gets jailed for something that he hasn't even done. Now, how many know at this point he's pretty low? It's from this point that I read this scripture. Some of you are going to get this in a minute. It's from this point that I read this scripture. Why is that significant? Here's why that's significant. Because I want you to understand that many times we think that we get in a situation. Listen, and sometimes you're in your mess because of choices that you've made. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Okay. But here, you know what? He's in that situation because he made the right choice. Here's all I'm pointing out is maybe I don't know why you're in the mess you're in. And I sense some of you are in a mess right now. And I've been sent here to remind you God hasn't left you. And you think he is. And maybe you think God left you because of the stupid things that you did. Can I tell you what? The Bible's clear. It rains on the righteous, on the just, and the unjust. Don't think God has forsaken you. because of things that you've done wrong. And for others, you know what? You didn't even do anything wrong. You might have stood. How many know you stand up for righteousness sometimes? That can put you in interesting positions. Okay? Well, don't start crying in your Cheerios. Listen to me. Don't ever regret doing the right thing. Don't ever regret it. Yeah, but look what it, oh, okay, fine. But I tell you what, God is still with him. And how many know God's got a plan for him? Can I tell you what? If God's with you, you know what? You can have a party in wherever. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can't. And so what happens? And so even he gets boom. But here's what I want you to catch. You know what? God is for him. God is on his side. God has not left him. He's in prison, but God is, he's not in a perfect situation, but God hasn't left him. Could it be sometimes, I'm just asking, could it be that sometimes God is just testing you?
Oh, watch out, I'm sorry. Oh, it's coming.
No. God always wants me to be in a perfect situation. God never wants any adversity to come towards me. Okay, I don't know what Bible you're reading, amen. Look at what my Bible says. Genesis chapter 22. Verses 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God, what?
Tested
Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Is God with him? I said, is God with him? Is God testing him? How do you know that God's testing? Because the Bible said God's testing him. Amen? All I'm saying is, see, Satan will take these situations. Listen to me carefully, because there's two situations that I'm talking about. One, you're in the mess you are because of bad choices you made, and Satan will come and say, see, kids, God's mad at you. He's left you. That's why. Wait. No. God hasn't left you. And you are in the mess you're in, and it's your fault. But don't think God is mad. Don't think God has abandoned you. He hasn't. Come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy in a time of need. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So just, you know what? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Say, God, I blew it. I know I blew it. I did it again. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry, and I'm really sorry. But repent and stop doing it.
Amen.
But there's another group of people, and you didn't do anything wrong. You're not in that situation because you did something wrong. You're in that situation because you did something right. And listen to me, you can blow it too, because you can start saying, you know what, and you start whining, you start going, yeah, you know what, there's nobody righteous except me. You know, I don't know why there's no Christians in my work, you know what I mean? Well, maybe you're there to get all them saved, amen? Nobody Christian in my family. Okay, well, you know what, don't just... If you're doing the right thing, don't grow weary in doing good. Maybe you're in that position not because of something that you did wrong, but because of what you did right. And don't think for a minute that God's left you, because he hasn't. Amen. But don't start judging the character of God. Don't start getting on crosswise with God. Oh, I mean, you know what? No, don't go there. You just stay consistent.
Amen. Come on.
You just keep on serving God. You just do what Joseph did. Just keep on serving God.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And we looked at it Sunday, and he will exalt you. When?
Oh.
You know what? In due season. He'll exalt you. God will exalt you. If you don't grow weary in doing good. Amen. Don't ever regret doing the right thing. Don't ever regret doing the right thing. So, is God with you? Yes. God is with you.
Yes.
Has God been with you? Yes. I told you this story. I'll tell you again. I'm maybe 8 years old. I'm in Thousand Pines. You know what I mean? I mean, this is back in the day. You know what? Back in the day when my mom would send me out at, you know what, when I'd leave at 9 o'clock in the morning in the summer in my bike, get on my bike, and this is a true story, get on my bike, you know what, and I'd say, bye, Mom. She'd say, bye, son, okay, and I'd come in at 9:30 at night. Hey, I'm hungry. And she wouldn't scold me. She was like, oh, did you have fun today?
Yeah.
I know it's different back in the day, amen. And so I'm at Thousand Pines. I'm at camp, and I'm climbing this tree. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, what in the world is the counselor thinking? Well, he was thinking like my mom, you know, climb up. I mean, I'm so high on this tree. It's crazy how high I'm at. I mean, if I fall, I'm going to die. You know what I mean? That's how high, I mean, I'm so high up on this tree. And the branch breaks, and I start to fall. Pastor, what happened? Here, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I'm 8 years old. I'm falling, and all of a sudden, I'm on a limb. What happened? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't care. You know, I'm convinced, like an angel just got me by the nappy. You know what I mean? Said, here you go. God caught me. Here you go. Put me on that little, you know what I mean? It was weird. You know what I mean? And like you're eight, you're thinking, oh, well, I guess I'll climb down now. You know what I mean? It's just weird. It was, you know what? You know, somebody said, well, what's a wonder? Oh, here's what a wonder is. A wonder is when you go, man, I wonder how that happened. You know what I mean? That's what it was. It was a wonder. It was a sign and a wonder. It was a wonder. I don't know how it happened. Listen to me. Start, you know what, remembering all the times. And you, I guarantee you have them in your life.
That's right.
Things that you just knew. God, it is the Almighty God being there for you. You need to, and that is proof. You need to remind yourself, God is not only with you, God has always been with you.
Amen.
Always been with you.
Wow.
When I was at I was in Newport Beach, and you know what? And I went, oh man, this is God. Fred, you remember, I don't know if even it's still there, but they had this old theater at the end of Balboa Peninsula, right in the middle, and it just was one theater, and the marquee was out there. So I don't remember the name either, but I hardly ever went to the end of the peninsula anyway. I don't even know why I was driving there. And I see, and it says right on that marquee, it says Miracle Night of Healing on Tuesday. And guys, and I'm not all spiritual, you know what I mean? I mean, here was my spirituality. I used to go to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Here's why. On Saturday nights, just to hear the rock and roll bands. But God was with me. I have no idea even why I was driving down there, but I saw it and I went. And God did a supernatural work that night in my life. And I met a pastor and started going to his home church. And then I got plugged into a church. Let me tell you what. These people that are just Christians, but they don't have a church. I'm going to teach on that in a couple weeks. And it needs to be taught on. Because there are thousands of them. You might be here. And you might, and you just float in and float out. And you know what? Listen, I love you. If you're called here, get here. And be here. I need you. We need you. And be faithful. And understand, your calling is just as true as my calling. Understand, you're going to be held accountable to where you went. Oh, but pastor, he's got that because he's the pastor. Well, you're called here just like I'm called here. Amen. And I'm going to teach on it. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. But from that church partnered with another church, you know what? And you know what? And that was the church that I was called to. And when they broke up in whatever, so they came together for a whole 4 months. But when they broke up, I stayed at the church where I knew I was called. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, what about the Calvary Chapel? The Calvary Chapel, that whole thing was just me walking in carnality is all I was doing. Amen. You can say amen.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. But what I'm saying is that God was with me. That I saw that miracle service. You think all that, no, listen to me. Start to look at your life and look at all the funny coincidences. They're not funny coincidences. That's God trying to continue to just rattle your cage and try to speak to you. And many of us were just dense. But God was faithful. God got me in an awesome church with an awesome pastor that I was called to that loved me. And that helped me so much.
Amen.
We're just at, have a friend come on over. He's got a friend come on over. I feel led by the Holy Spirit to ask him this question about stocks. And that guy says, buy as much of this stock as you can. And I had just a little over $1,000. And I bought as much of that stock as I could. So what's going on? God's with me. God's in that stock just kept on doubling and doubling and doubling and doubling and doubling and just supernatural.
Amen.
God speaks to me and says, you know what, Drew, you need to move from Newport Beach and you need to move back in with your parents and you need to be here. And so then, you know what, I did that and then I married my wife and God spoke to me and said, you know what, don't get an apartment. Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to live with my parents? You know, what is that? You know what I mean? See, what am I saying? God is with you. God speaks to you. Are you listening to him? Look back in your life. And that one decision, whatever it was 4 months later, 3 months later, whatever it was, you know what? Somebody comes to the church and says, hey, we're looking for an apartment manager. You know what? Chinese family looking for an apartment manager, Christian. He wants a young Christian couple. Would you be interested? That one, God speaking, God has always been with us. And if you'll track your life, you can do it in the positive, you can do it in the negative. You can even do it times when you know God was speaking to you and you didn't listen to what he told you to do. We could have that conversation too. Come on, could we not? I could give you that list too. I want to give you that list. But I could give you that list. See, every single one, and I could go on and on and on. And so, you know what? And sure enough, and that led into then us going, managing for him, all kinds of blessings. Then we got then he moved us into a nicer place. And then we lived across the street from the manager, the owner that Tamara would get a job in, and just, all that, just blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing, just because, here's why, because see, I'm not doing this on my own. God is with me, But God has been with me for a long time.
Amen.
And we have to remember. We have to open up our hearts and not let Satan lie to us and say, oh, you're on this. You're not here alone. And all you have to do is open up your heart and recognize God is right there. He's not right there. He's right here. And he wants to speak to you, and he wants to be your friend, and he wants to comfort you. Comfort. He wants to come right alongside with you and help you.
Amen.
And then finally, we have to understand that God is with us, God has always been with us, and God will forever be with us. God will forever be with us. You please understand, you are the apple of his eye. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Then just a couple verses later, he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, look what he says, Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
God has always wanted to be with his people.
Yeah.
God has always wanted to be with his people. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me tell you what, tomorrow, can I tell you where God's going to be tomorrow?
Oh, right here, tomorrow?
He's going to be with you.
Amen.
He's going to be with you. Tomorrow, don't be, you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to be afraid. God's going to be with you tomorrow. I don't know if you guys have this. I don't know if I gave it to you. It's Zechariah chapter 2. Do you have that? Verse 6? Oh, yeah, you guys got this. This is so awesome. Watch this. Up, up! Flee the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Look what he says. Up Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts. Look what he says. He sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches. Who does he touch?
The apple of my eye.
The apple of his eye.
Yes.
Why is he going to be with you? Because let me tell you who you are. You're the apple of his eye.
Amen.
Look at this. It just gets better. This is awesome. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me.
Amen.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst. What? God is the same yesterday. I will dwell what? I will dwell what? In your midst. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Next verse. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell, what? In your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Do you see this personalness? Watch this. And the Lord has taken possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will choose again Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused with the holy inhabitants. God has promised never leave you or forsake you. He's promised to be in your midst. He's always been with you. He's with you today, and he will be with you tomorrow. We've got to grab a hold of this, because let me tell you what, God has not left us like orphans. And we have to grab a hold and understand, God is with me. God is for me. God is on my side. If he's on my side, then I'm not alone. And I'm not only not alone, but I'm with the God who can do everything. He's God Almighty.